We're learning Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Aleph. I just wanted to mention, again, I really appreciate the fact that all those that come here to hear the shiur in person, and on the fact that the shul, Oel Avraham Mishkan Yosef, makes this shiur possible, and the listening public, those who listen to the tapes, I appreciate it. We all get a chizuk from the fact that we're Baruch Hashem able to continue learning and understanding to some extent the lessons from Sefer Shmuel. In this parak, like in a number of other prakim, there's actually, depending on who's learning it, they would learn it in different manners. This parak deals to a certain extent with kodshim, which you can imagine somebody learning in brisk, who's familiar with all the intricacies of the halachas of eating kodshim, would learn this perek one way. Obviously, we're going to not go into the depths of the halacha that much. And a number of issues also, depending on who's listening to it. There are people, especially with the tapes, there are young and old, and there are children listening to it, and adults. But we'll try to explain it in a way that should be enjoyable by all, and should be informative. So I'm Perek Chof Aleph. Vayokom Vayelach. David and Yehonasan had just met, and Yehonasan warned David that Shaul is indeed out to kill him. And they separated. They cried together and they parted, and they realized if this is they're entering a new stage in their life where David is going to be on the run and Yehonasan's going to be at home, and they're separated. Vayokum vayelach. He got up and he went on his way. And we know who we're talking about. We're talking about David. But some Mefarshim note that it didn't mention his name. It says Yehonasan bohayir. It mentions Yehonasan by name, that Yehonasan went back to the city. By David, he was already hiding. He was already hidden. Vayokum vayelach, as an anonymous, he got up and he went. On the other hand, he didn't run away. It wasn't, perhaps if he would run, it might look obvious. Why is the son-in-law of the king? Why is David? Where is he running? What's going on? It attracts attention. But David got up, vayokum vayelach, and he went on his way. Vihonason bohoyir. What's interesting to think once in a while is, when you're learning through these parshas, how we would react, and about, you know, it's of note that David HaMelech, we'll see later on in arts, he was, part of his godless was the fact that he was Kos Yeshuas Esso V'Shem Hashem Ekra. When he was lifting up the cup to celebrate and to be saved, he called out in the name of Hashem, and also Tzara V'Yogon Emsa U'v'shem Hashem Ekra. And when he had suffering, it was also called out in the name of Hashem. It didn't, whether it was good or bad, it was always directed toward Hashem. And if you think about it, the fact that we're now entering this part where he's going to be chased by Shaul the whole time, it's like, you know, with our modern day viewpoint, you would imagine a guy like that would start a whole PR campaign and he would go around and tell the people, after all, he was popular. They were singing Hikas Shaul Balofa V'David Breiv Avosov, that David was more successful than Shaul. And the whole people, everyone loved him. And he should go ahead to a number of people and tell them, you know, he's the Mashiach Hashem, he was anointed by Shmuel, he's supposed to be the king, and of course Shaul doesn't realize he has a Ruach Ra, and should try and explain to them why, you know, Shaul is pursuing him, but he was already the favorite. And instead, he understood that obviously he was not supposed to take over the Malchus yet. Shaul is the king. And if Shaul opposes him, he chooses to go on a life of wandering and running away and a life of danger. And you don't find anywhere that he talked against Shaul. We'll see later on how he defended Shaul. And he was careful that everyone should treat Shaul with the utmost respect. It's just, I say it's... You don't find anywhere that David tried to build himself up and engender a support from the masses. But Vayokom Vayelach, he got up and he went on his way. Yehonasan Bohayir, and Yehonasan came to the city. Chazal say there was a taina on Yehonasan. as which again, it's so hard for us to imagine, because he risked his life. He was the son of the king, and he should have been the king, and he gave everything up, and he risked his personal safety, and he was willing to give up his malchus. As his father said, we learned Benavas Hamardus. One Peshat was, Shaul said to him, you're like a rebellious son with a Kruma Seichel. Normally a guy rebels because you want to take over a position. Here you're like rebelling against me to give away the throne. And as his devotion to David was so, so great. Yeah, when you're dealing with great people, every little step we've seen many times is weighed and judged. And Chazal point out, Yehonasan didn't bring any food to David. They met in the field, and the plan was that if Shaul is after David, David is going to have to flee for his life. And Yehonasan didn't bring him any food. Now, we can be sure Yehonasan had his reasons, besides the fact that he had his mind on, well, you'd say more important things. He has to find out what Shaul has in mind and report back immediately. Besides the fact that it would come with packages of food, it would attract attention. What's Yehonasan coming? Or his lad is carrying these bags. Where is he going? So instead he just went out like he's going to shoot arrows, which is normal. Nothing looked unusual. I'm sure Yehonasan had his reasons. But Chazal point out that there are five things that a host, somebody should do for a guest. By the Parsha of Egla Rufa, if there's a person found killed in between the cities, so there's the Canaan gathered together, and there's a whole procedure. They see which city is the closest city. And it says, Yodeinu lo shofchu es adom hazeh, that our hands didn't spill this blood. And the Gemara says in Saita, what do you mean our hands didn't spill this blood? Of course the Sanhedrin wasn't out killing anyone. These are the greatest tzaddik. What do you mean we didn't spill the blood? And Chazal say they didn't spill the blood means the people from that close city were able to say they didn't let a guy leave without food. They always did what was necessary. You can't, and they didn't leave him go without being accompanying him without levoya, because if a person is accompanied, he feels security, he feels safe. They didn't just leave him wandering like he should feel like, you know, he's lost, nobody cares about him. There are five things that one should do for the traveler. Provide him with achila, food, shasi, a drink, a lina or shechiva, a place to sleep. Levoya accompanying him afterwards, and give him mazon, give him food. Now it could be the few days that David was in the field. He waited 3 days. We learned v'shilashto teired ma'od for 3 days, and then he was very hidden. Could be he went around, he found berries, he found something to eat in the field. Although we'll see later on when he came to Achimelech, which we're going to get to today, Mirtz Hashem, he was at a point of sakonis nefoshos. In other words, he hadn't eaten. You know, whatever he did scrounge around for, he was at a point of mamash sakonis nefoshes. And there was a taina. In other words, Yehonasan went back to the city. He's like, David is going to now vayokom vayelach, he's just going wherever he's going, and Yehonasan goes back to the city, and David is left stranded. Vayovo David Nove. David came to the city of Nov. After Shiloh was destroyed, we learned at the very beginning of Shmuel, where they went and they fought against the Plishtim, and the Plishtim captured the Aron. At that point in history, when Shiloh was destroyed, whatever kalim, whatever utensils were used in the Mishkan, and whatever Devarim Shebi Kedusha there were, it was transported to Nov. Nov was a city of Kohanim. Which is interesting, because you don't find that nowadays. Although in Halacha, there's always discussions. What do you do in a case if you have a minion and they're all Kohanim? What do you do with Birchas Kohanim? What do you do with Aliyahs? You know, what happens if you have all Kohanim and there's only one Yisrael, you know, one Levi? It's always a discussion, although we're not used to it. But this is actually, we'll see in a moment, the city of Nov was a city of Kohanim. We'll see later on, they didn't even have regular bread. Since the Kohanim were always eating Truma, they were eating Kodshim, and a lot of this was time sensitive. You know, it had to be finished. Certain things had to be eaten with that day or that day and night. So there was no market for chulin bread. They didn't. It was all Kohanim, and the whole city was noyig with the kedusha and everything that was expected of Kohanim. So David came to Nov. Bayovo David Nov. David came to Nov. El Achimelech HaKohen to Achimelech the Kohen. Why did he come to Nov? We'll see shortly. Could be he came there to Davin. In other words, now the Aron was there. He came to Nov to Davin. We'll see he came to ask the Urim V'Tumim. is he going to be successful? In other words, right now he's going to start running away from Shaul. The first step is to find out and ask from the Urim V'Tumim what he should do, and will he be Matzliach? And we'll see also, he came to know if he's going to need to get food. But obviously, if he needed to, which is going to seem strange, because if somebody needs to eat food, and he's not he's a Yisrael, like David was from Shevet Yehuda, to go running to the city of the Kohanim looking for food is not the best place to look. You look for food that you're allowed to eat. But David came to know, V'lachimelech HaKoin, Tachimelech HaKoin. Vayechrad Achimelech Likras David. And Achimelech sort of trembled. He had a panic to come and greet David. He didn't know what's going on. Vayomer lo, he said to him, Madu atol avadecha, why are you alone? V'ishei nitoch, and nobody's with you. It's like repetitive to stress his great wonderment. You're alone? Nobody's with you? What's going on? After all, David was recognized as the leader, the general of the army, and the son-in-law of the king, and here David's also wandering alone. If he's going out to war, there should be an army. If he's going on a mission from Shaul sent David somewhere, he should have a group of servants with him. Even an Adam Choshuv on his personal needs normally went with two, like Avraham Avinu and a Shnei Narav, with his two people with him, right? So in here, David's all by himself. Now we're going to see Achimelech is very suspicious. He doesn't understand why David did what he did. And David's going to rationalize it, and Achimelech is going to accept it. But it's important to keep in mind that it looks so suspicious because when Shaul HaMelech hears what happens, he's convinced that if David goes alone to Achimelech, and we'll see all the strange things that seem to be happening, and Achimelech helps out David, it must be David, he knew, was Morid B'Malchus. David is rebelling against him, and David is out to get him, and David is the worst. But Achimelech is with him. It must be the city of the Kohanim is all backing David. Because otherwise, how could it be that they helped out David and they weren't suspicious? They were, but Shaul didn't understand that they were, and they accepted the explanation. So Vayechra, there was like a trembling. Vayechra Achimelech Likras David. And he asked him, why are you coming here by yourself? Vayomer David. David said, L'Achimelech HaKoin, T'Achimelech HaKoin. HaMelech Tzivani Dovor. The king commanded me on a mission. Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Ishal Yeda Mu'uma. A man should know nothing about it. This is top secret. Es HaDovra Asher Anochi Sholeichacha. The matter that I'm sending you on, nobody should know. Vashir Tzivisicha. And nobody should know that I'm the one behind it. In other words, nobody should know what you're out to do. In other words, whatever he's doing, nobody should be aware of what he's doing. And nobody should be aware also that the idea originated with Shaul HaMelech. Also, it could mean, Esadovra Asher Anochi Sholeichacha. Nobody should know exactly what you're doing, what you're being sent to do. Vashir Tzivisich, and what I've commanded you, what the purpose of the mission is. Or everything's got to be shrouded in extreme secrecy. Ves hana'arim yodati. So the na'arim, now yodati, Rashi says the pshat is, I gave them the tairach, the difficulty. I troubled the na'arim el mokum ploni almoni to go to a hidden place, which is remains nameless, that nobody should know where the na'arim are. So this way, in other words, they're hiding out from me somewhere. And they know that David had to go. Whether he told him he's going for a few hours or a few days, whatever. But they're going to stay in this place hiding out, and eventually David will return. It could also be Vesana Orim Yodati, like the Matsuda says, that I've informed them which place to go to. Vesana Orim Yodati, I told them where to wait for me. Almokum Ploni Almoni. So I'm all by myself. But it's not like I'm anything. The Na'arim are hiding out somewhere from me. Va'ata now. Ma yesh tachas yorcha. What is there under your hand? What do you have available? Chamisha lechem? Do you have five breads? Tznaviyadi, give it to me. Oh, hanimsa, if you don't have five, give less, whatever you have available. Now, Achimelech should, the understanding is Pashat that he's asking for plain bread that everyone can eat, but he already mentioned he has some Na'orim hiding in the hideout, his attendants. Could be he's got four lads with him, so they need five breads. One for David and one for the other, and one each for the other ones. But the true intention of David was, David knew that he's going to be running, and he's not going to be able to get fresh bread every day. Probably he'll store up the five breads, because who knows when he'll get his next meal. So he asked Achimelech for the breads. Vayan ha-kohen es David vayomer. The kohen responded to David and he said, and vayan is a harsh term. In other words, he spoke to David with a strong until now everyone's vayomer. He said this, and David vayomer this, and Achimelech is previously said vayomer lo. David, Achimelech spoke to David. Now all of a sudden, Achimelech is wondering what's going on. David shows up. The Na'arim are hiding out, and he comes to the Kohen Gadol, he comes to Achimelech, and he wants bread. Vayan ha-Kohen es David vayomer. So the Kohen said to David as follows, Ein lechem chol tachas yodi. I have no mundane bread. There's no plain bread over here. Kim lechem kodesh yesh. All I have available is holy bread. Im nishmru ha-Na'arim ach me'isha. If the Na'arim are pure, and they don't have any tumah that comes from being married, ach me'isha, from a woman, if they're pure, they can have this special bread. Achimelech realized that this was obviously very urgent. This was, David obviously let him know that it was a mamash sakana, he had to have it. Achimelech wasn't sure exactly. Is it really a sakonis nefashis? If it is, you can give him anything. But he wasn't so sure. Is it really a sakona? David's asking the bread. On the other hand, well, he should say no. But if David is tahar and all the na'orim are tahar, okay, then he can give them the bread. Im nishmur ha'na'orim ach me'isha, if they're all tahar, he will give them the bread. And now again, it's strange to him why David is traveling and he didn't bring food along. And if the Na'arim are in some place, why can't the Na'arim go? They're in a hidden place, but let them go and find food somewhere. As the Na'arim are just waiting and David is supposed to bring them back the food. But that's what David told him. Vayan David es hakohen vayomer lo. So again, David spoke back forcefully to the Kohen. Because David had to convince Achimelech that there's nothing strange or suspicious going on, but it's all understandable. So vayan David es hakohen vayomer lo. David responded to the kohen and he said, Kim isha tzura lonu kismol shilshom. We've been traveling, it's already been a few days. We haven't been home, not from yesterday, not from the day before. It's already like 3 days. Bitseisi. And it could be even when we left, even if we wouldn't be Tahar at the moment that we left the house, but right after that we became Tahar. They all went to the mikvah and they all became Tahar. And that was a few days ago they left. So all of the kalim, all of the garments and all of the utensils and everything that the Na'arim had was Kodesh, was kept in a state of purity. Now, in those days, they were careful. A lot of people, the proper conduct was of a Talmud Chacham, was that even their chulin, they ate b'tahara. In other words, even their plain bread, they ate b'tahara. So again, David and his men are not eating kodshim, and they're not eating truma, and if they're on the run, they're probably not even handling necessarily truma. But the normal mode of events was, people became tahar. In other words, if a person was tameh, he was tameh. But otherwise, they kept themselves in a state of purity. V'hu derechol. even if they were going, they're on a trip of choil, of a mundane trip, they're not on a holy mission, where they're going to be touching holy foods and things like that. But they purified themselves, even for their regular journey. And you can be assured that certainly today that you're giving me breads that became kadosh, that became holy, in a keli, that were put into a klisharis, one of the utensils used in Nov, used by the Mishkan. If it was put into the keli, klisharis, you can be guaranteed we keep the strictest kashra standards over here, and my Na'arim will make sure that the breads will remain tahar without, and there's nothing to be concerned about. Now, there's a discussion here, just to spend a short time on this. What exactly were these, what were the holy breads here? Now, the understanding is that even if David was in the state of sakonis nefoshes, like you have a similar idea by Yom Kippur, that if somebody has to eat, or in general, if somebody has to eat the food that's aser, you try to give him the most minimal iser. In other words, you give him something you're not allowed to normally eat, but you minimize it. So over here, when David shows up in the city of Nov, he has a choice of foods to eat from. He could eat from truma. But if somebody eats truma, he's chayiv misa bidei shamayim. So that's a very serious offense. Then there's lechem haponim. That was every week in the Beis Hamikdash or in the Mishkan, they baked 12 loaves of bread. And we'll see, it seems that these breads, by the way, were given to David, and they were large. They were large breads. To give you an idea, the shear of an omer, like in the midbar, everyone got an omer per day. V'ha'omer asiris ha'efa. The omer was an asiris ha'efa. That's basically the quantity of food that a person eats in a day. On a practical level, it very involves us, because when a woman bakes, or the man also, but usually it comes up by the women or by the men matzah baking. You have, of course, the mitzvah of challah. If you bake a large enough quantity, you have to be mafrish challah. The question of exactly how much it is, whether it's slightly more than 2 pounds or almost 5 pounds, well, you know, how much do you need to have to make a bracha? There's different opinions exactly how much it is. But you're dealing with an omer, an asiri sa'efa, is a few pounds. These, the breads, the lechem aponim, were shnei esronim. Each one was two esronim. So imagine each loaf of bread was 4.5 pounds, or maybe up to 8, 9 pounds, 10 pounds. These were very large breads. And it was kept in the Mishkan for a week. It was placed there hot. The Gemara says a nace happened, that the bread stayed fresh and hot for the whole week. And then, in other words, it was baked. It's a machloikis, whether it was baked on Shabbos or baked Erev Shabbos. The halach is it was baked Erev Shabbos. It was placed on the shulchan, on the table on Shabbos. It remained there for a whole week. And then they took it off of the shulchan. First there were cups of Lavona, of like frankincense, of Lavona. And that was burnt on the Mizbeach. Then they took off the breads. The Kohanim divided it up. And they ate it. And it was divided up every week. There was a different group of Kohanim who came to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They divided up among those coming and those going. The Gemara also learns out the Kohen Gadol had a right to take half of the breads. So Achimelech, who's the Kohen, could have had these breads from himself. And there's a question when David came. I say every point here is Machleksin and the Gemara and Kodshim with all the details, which... what's the preferable food to eat? But when it says that all they had was came lechem kodesh yesh, there's two main opinions in the Rishonim. The Radak mentions lechem kodesh from his father. It was the bread from lachmei toda. That is, that when a person went through one of the miracles, that one of the events for which we bench goyimel nowadays, let's say a person traveled over the ocean. So he comes and he benches goyimel. In the Zman HaMikdash, he would bring a korban toida to give thanks to Hashem. That's why we say Mizmor L'Soida. That should be sing with a little life to it, a little tune. Mizmor L'Soida, they would sing this song that the nes that Hashem did for them. And part, besides the korban, they brought 40 loaves of bread. They were baked in four different, there were 10 loaves of four different types, is 40 loaves. So it was a lot of bread, and it had to be eaten in a day and a night, so obviously a person would normally have to invite a crowd. That's a lot of bread for a small group of people to eat. So it would invite a crowd, and it would publicize the nace that happened to him, that he went through such a treacherous situation, and he was delivered. That's Lachmei Todah. Now once it's, that's Lachmei Todah. Now the Lachmei Todah, one of each type, meaning four breads out of the 40, one of each type was given to the Kohen. Over here, there was no Beis HaMikdash, and even though they gave it to the Kohen, the Malbim learns that, the Malbim discusses this, that really it's mutter for Yisrael to eat. If he's Tohar, as long as he's pure, it's like Kodshim Kalim. It's like, Amir Tzashem will all eat from the Korban Pesach. As long as you're pure, you're eating the Korban Pesach, means you're eating holy, you're eating Kodshim. That's a chus, you make a special bracha to be able to zeichet, to eat Kodshim. But these breads really were permitted to be eaten if you're Tohar. And even though they gave the Trumas Lachmei Todah, what it's called, the bread that was given to the Kohen, really it wasn't obligatory and it didn't have a special Kedush and it was permitted for everyone. So one explanation is that the breads that he gave were breads from this Lachmei Todah. The other explanation is, because the Pesukim don't mention that at all, the Pesukim seem to mention, which we'll see in a moment in Pasuk Zayin, that it's referring to the Lechem Haponim, the bread that remained on the Shulchan, in the Heichal. And that bread was usur to eat. It's not Chayiv Misa, it's only a lav, but you're not allowed to eat that bread as long as it's on the Shulchan until you burn those cups of Levona, of the frankincense, until you burn those cups of incense on the Mizbeach, then the bread becomes mutter to eat. So the question is again exactly at which stage was this Lechem Kodesh and which bread did he give to David? But Vayitin lo HaKohen Kodesh, the Kohen gave David this holy bread. Now David had convinced him, in other words, Vayiyu Klan Arm Kodesh, first of all, everybody had purified their Kalim. As they when they left, they were toivel, and they were careful to keep this level of tahara. And one pshat is v'hu derechol. He was telling Achimelech, you know, the bread is holy, but the bread is already on its way out to being mundane. We're talking about the lechem haponim that's removed from the shulchan, so it's already on its way. It's a derechol. It's able to come off the shulchan already. So it's another reason why it should be mutter. And you should know, even if today it was on the Kli Sharis and it was on the Shulchan, we're allowed to eat it. Because it was a sakonas nefoshos and they were starved. And there's a concept, what the Gemara mentions, of bulmus, that a guy is, I don't know the English word for it, but a person gets hunger to the extent that a sakonas nefoshos he has to eat, and it was urgent. Sakonas nefoshos. And therefore David said, you're allowed to give it to us. Vayitin lo ha-kohen kodesh. So the Kohen gave him the kodshim. Ki lo ha-yisham lechem. And it says clearly why he did it. He didn't accept David's rationale so readily, but because there was no bread, kim lechem haponim, except the lechem haponim ha-musarim, that's removed milifnei Hashem from the heichal. That's all the bread that he had. So he gave him a lechem haponim. Or according to the alternative pshat, all he had was the lechem haponim. That was the only other thing he could give him. So he gave him the trumas lachmei todah, those breads, because there was nothing more permissible. He had an option. There was lechem haponim, and there was this trumas lachmei todah from the breads of the todah. Those are the basic explanations. And I say the Malbim goes through a discussion. All of this, the fact that truma is the worst, the most chamor thing to eat, because yichayev misa, and the lechem aponim was only a lav, and after it's removed, it's permitted. But that's all assuming the people are tahor, if they're pure. One, if they would not be pure, if they'd be tamei, it would have a different order of precedence what should be given to eat. But let's leave that. Kim lechem aponim hamusar milifnei Hashem. All they had was the lechem aponim. Losum lechem chom. To place hot bread biyom hilokcho on the day that it's taken. Meaning, the lechem aponim was just removed in order to bring in the new batch of bread. In order to bring in the hot bread. And I say, the Gemara mentions that it was a neis, that even though the bread, the Gemara learns, darshans it from this pasuk, losum lechem chom, to place hot bread, but it's called hot bread biyom hilokcho when they removed it. They placed it on the shulchan and it was there a week. When they removed it, biyom hilokcho, it was still hot. But the Mefarshim say the truth of in Poshup Shot, you could learn, according to one opinion, you can bake the lechem upon him on Shabbos, and they placed the hot bread when they removed the old ones. Or it could be they baked it erev Shabbos and they left it in the oven, so it stayed hot. So he had this lechem upon him, and that's what he is going to give to David. Visham. Now over there, Ish me avdei Shol, there was a man from the servants of Shol, Bayomahu, and he happened to be there that day. This was not a private meeting between David and Achimelech. David came, it was urgent, he asked for the bread, but somebody overheard. Netzar lifnei Hashem. He was held back before Hashem. Everybody was there, and when they finished doing what they did, they left. This person felt the need to stay in the Mishkan, to stay in Nov, to stay in the Makom Kadosh, because he was a great chacham, he was from the greatest chachamim of the generation, and he stayed there. He held himself back to remain lifnei Hashem. Some learn he stayed there to daven, or he stayed there, well, we'll see in a moment, other reasons why he was there. Ushmo Doeg HaAdomi. And his name was Doeg HaAdomi. We've had him before. He was the one who initially introduced David to Shol in a manner that Shol should become jealous. He was out against David. Why is he Doeg HaAdomi? I saw many, many explanations in the Me'am Loes. The Poshut explanation that most of the Mefarshim say is he lived in Edom. There were certain Yidden, for whatever reason, had to live in other places where you're going to have later on Uriah Hachiti. He must have lived with the people of Ches. And there's other ones, Doeg HaAdomi and Uriah Hachiti and Itai Hagiti. Somebody Itai lived in Gas. Well, Doeg lived in Edom. But the other pshatim we had before, David was, we introduced David that he was v'hu admoni im yefei einayim. He was an admoni. Doeg HaAdomi is like admoni. He was called Doeg because his whole purpose was to go against the one who was the Adomi. His whole purpose was to instill a jealousy against David that Shaul should be against David. Another pshatim HaAdomi is a, you see that word in the middle, the shoresh, comes from the word dum, blood, that because of Doeg, we'll see the city of Nov, the blood, the city was wiped out. We'll see later on that Shaul felt that the whole city was Moreid B'Malchus, that what happened looked so suspicious, he was sure it was a conspiracy, and they were all Chayiv Misa. And Doeg was the one behind it. He was HaAdomi, he's the one who caused that bloodshed. And he's the one who caused HaAdomi, he said that the blood of David was Hefker. In other words, David didn't deserve to live, and he deserved to be killed. Avbir Haroim, he was the mighty one of the shepherds. He was the leader of the shepherds, Asher L'Shol, that Shol had. Shol had different people in charge of the livestock, and he was the leader. Now, if he was in charge of the animals, could be he came to Nov. Every tenth animal is Meiser Behema, has to be brought as Meiser. Could be he had a number of animals that were the Bechor, the firstborn, that had to be given to the Kohanim to be brought as a korban. So he was in charge of all the animals. And if you run a farm, you have to pay your dues. There's kutchim that have to be brought. But Chazal and Abir HaRoim, it wasn't just he was in charge of the sheep. He was in charge of the Tzayin Kadoshim, the Klal Yisrael, that's called the Holy Sheep. He was one of the leaders of the people. Arbir Horoim, he was the shepherd, he took care of Klal Yisrael. Rashi brings down, he was the leader, meaning he was the Av Bezdin. In other words, he was the leader of the Sanhedrin. He was the Av Bezdin. So he was one of the greatest people, and he was there. And through Tehillim, it's in Kapitel Nun Beis, David HaMelech discusses why he was, what's going through David's mind. Bevo Doeg Ha'adomi Vayage L'Shol, when Doeg came and he told Shol that he saw David with Achimelech, and Achimelech helped him out, which we'll learn about shortly. And over there, I say that it's a whole kapitel that has to be learned exactly what, you know, the psukim that he mentions, but just a few of them. He mentions, Matis Halal Beroah HaGibor. Why are you praising yourself and doing evil? You Gibor, you mighty person. And the Me'am Lois brings up Shad that what he was telling him was, if somebody's standing right by a pit or by a cliff, if there's no greatness to throw the guy off the cliff. That doesn't show greatness. The greatness is if somebody's about to fall and you save him. Here, I'm being pursued by Shoal. So you think, wow, it's a great thing you're helping Shoal out and you're turning me in. That's not a great thing. Matis halo baroh. Why are you praising yourself and doing evil? It would be a kunz. It'd be something if you're able to convince Shoal that I'm right and to save my life. But to go ahead and encourage Shoal and make matters worse. Chesed keil kol hayoyim. The chesed of Hashem is the all the day. Meaning, don't think that Achimelech is helping me. And if not for him, who knows what would be, and I would and David would die from hunger, or it'd be caught. You should know the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always. Achimelech helped me out, but don't think it's Achimelech. If it wouldn't be Achimelech, it'd be somebody else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu harvei shluchim yesh lamakom. Chesed keil is kol hayom. Ohavta ra mitov. You love doing evil more than doing good. Meaning what he's telling him is, if you cared about Shoal, if you wanted to help out Shoal, you would tell him that I'm on his side. To go ahead and convince Shoal that I'm against him, you're hurting Shoal, because Shoal is, you know what's going to happen. You're going to tell Shoal, and it's going to have disastrous consequences, and Shoal's going to get punished for it. So it's not just you're hurting me. You're hurting Shoal. Ohavta ra mitov. And there's a whole kapitel, the way David HaMelech is able to channel all of his frustrations and his difficulties and his tzaras and his suffering, and throughout Tehillim what he does is, those that, and there are times when he speaks in the harshest terms, you know, like the Rishayim should be, you know, should have a klala and they should suffer, but it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give them their punishment. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. But he himself, the mighty warrior and the mighty fighter, when he fought for Klal Yisrael, when he went against the Goyim, he fought for Klal Yisrael, there you saw his strength. He never used that directed against Chas V'Shalom Shoal, who was the Mashiach Hashem. In terms of those that were oppressing him, or even Doeg, it was always HaKadosh Baruch Hu should deal with them. But over there was Doeg Ha'adomi. And we'll see later on, David had Charata, that later he realized Doeg was there. And the truth is, he realized that Doeg was against him. But at the moment, as I say, Jose, it's hard to imagine, but at this point where he's on the verge of dying, and you know, he shouldn't have said it, but Lamaisa, he made his request of Achimelech. Doeg is looking on and seeing how Achimelech responds. And we're going to see, he's going to report back to Shoal exactly what Achimelech did. By the way, the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin, on Daf Kuf Vov, there's a discussion back and forth between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David, what should happen with Doeg. And Hashem says he should be Zoichet Olam Haba, and David HaMelech says no, he shouldn't, and there's a discussion over there. But Doeg, if you look through that Gemara, you see exactly how great Doeg was. And yet, he was mamash ein lo chelek lo mabon. He was like the worst Russia. It's one of those, it's such an isayin for David to be opposed by someone who was the Rosh, was the Av Bezdin. was from the greatest Chachamim. And he was the Abir HaRoyim Asher L'Shol. He was one of the leaders. Vayomer David L'Achimelech. David said to Achimelech, V'in yesh po tachas yodcha? Is there over here in your possession a chanis, a spear, or charev, or a sword? Ki gam charbi v'gam kelai lo lakachti. My sword and my kelim, my other utensils, I didn't take anything biyodi in my hand. Ki hoya dvar HaMelech nochut. This matter that the king sent me on was urgent. Now, of course, you know, it doesn't, if a policeman runs out of the house, it just takes them a minute to grab his gun. You know, then as urgent as it is, you can run out with your weapons. You never heard of a soldier, you know, he gets his call up and it's urgent, so he runs out and he forgets his gun. But David comes to Achimelech and he says, you know, okay, he gave him the bread. So I say Achimelech is still a little, he gave him the bread, but now he wants the weapons. He didn't have any time to take your sword. Vayomer HaKohen, so the Kohen said, Cherev Goliath HaPlishti, the sword of Goliath the Plishti, Asher Hikisav Ve'emek Ho'elo, that you struck down in that valley. Elo is the type of tree where the Elo tree grows. Hinehi Luta Vasimlo, it's wrapped up in a garment, Achrei HaEphod, in back of the Ephod. The Ephod was that garment that the Kohen Gadol wore, on which there was the Choshen with the Urim V'Tumim, over there where they had the most holy Kalim in the Mishkan and Nov, over there they kept the sword of Goliath because it was almost like they made the sword Hegdish, and not that they didn't make it Hegdish, but they kept it with all the holy Kalim because this was Mamash HaNesma Kadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody comes to Nov, you should always know the sword of Goliath is there, the Nes that Hashem did. And it's wrapped up in a garment. That not chas v'shalom, there should be an exposed weapon like that near the Mizbeach. It's interesting because in modern day they have that in the Shaos and Shuvas. They discuss about a person not supposed to bring a long knife. It's brought down halacha into shul, like a weapon like that. In Eretz Yisrael, obviously a lot of soldiers for sakonas tefashas they have. They walk around with their weapons, and are you allowed to bring a weapon into shul? But here, this was wrapped up in a simla, it was wrapped up in a garment, not to have an exposed sword right next to the ephod. It was wrapped up. Im oisakach tikach lecha. If you'll take that for yourself, koch, take it. I'll leave the decision to you. Ki ein acheres zulosa. There's no other beside that bazer over here. They didn't have weapons in the city of the Kohanim. The Kohanim weren't fighting. As always, I think, you know, it's the policemen in Borough Park, Baruch Hashem, have an easy time, you know. The crime in Borough Park, Baruch Hashem, there shouldn't be any crime. But the mostly Yidden, so there's mostly no violent crime like that. But in a city like Novi or Akonim, I assume they didn't have a police force. No weapons. You know, they had this one sort of Goliath. There were no weapons. What is a city of Novi or Akonim, the peaceful Kohanim? So there were no weapons over there. Vayomer David. So David said, "Ain kamoa. There's nothing like it. Maybe that's the only thing you got. There's nothing like it. Tenenoli, give it to me. That sword is ideal." Chazal say, first of all, acharei ho'efod, when hinehi luta vasimla, it's wrapped up. Another pshat besides that, it's hidden. It's in back of the ephod. Acharei ho'efod can mean after, in time wise, after David did what they did with the ephod, then they would take the sword. Meaning David asked the Urim V'Tumim, which we'll see later. David asked the Urim V'Tumim through Achimelech. Achimelech consulted the Urim V'Tumim. Will David be successful in his running away? And Achrei HaEphod, after that, the question was asked from the Urim V'Tumim, then David took the sword that was wrapped up. And again, this is, Doeg is watching the whole thing, and he's watching the fact that Achimelech is giving him the food, and he's giving him the weapon of Goliath, and he asked the Urim V'Tumim, which is something that's ordinarily only done for Klal Yisrael, for the king. It's not just anybody has a private question, you don't ask the Urim V'Tumim. And he's helping out David, and Shaul's going to be convinced that, you're going to tell me that, what do you think? David came to you all along, All alone. David came all alone without any people with him, and you helped him out. And Shaul must have been convinced that he knows what happened, the fact that, you know, all the events that we had where David was running away from Shaul, and he ran to the house, and his wife let him down through the window, and Shaul had thrown the spear, and, you know, this whole background, which could be Achimelech didn't know. But Shaul was convinced that he knew. And Doeg came back, and he reported what Achimelech did. It's not a mazel dika thing to use the sword of somebody. If the owner died, the owner of that sword died. It's not a... Chazal bring down, Achimelech said to him, listen, this sword was the one used by Goliath. And we all know what happened to him. That's the only sword here. It's not sort of like a mazel dika thing. So David said, ain't come on, there's nothing like it. That true, the owner of this sword died. But the owner of this sword died because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a Yeshua for me. With this sword represents the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me out. And to not only give it to me, it's a good mazel for me to use this type of sword. Vayokom David, the Malbim brings that pshat that we just mentioned. Vayokom David, David got up. Vayivrach vayom ahum mipnei Shaul. And now he fled on that day from before Shaul. Once he got the bread, could be the pshat was, some learned before, it didn't say that he fled. He was running away, he sort of didn't know what's going to be. Now the fact that Achimelech, even though begrudgingly he helped him, but he gave him the breads, he gave him the weapons, and most importantly, he asked the Urim V'tumim, and David knew he'd be successful. David is encouraged that he has the strength to Vayivrach, to run away, Vayivrach v'yomahu mivnei Shaul, and he ran away mivnei Shaul, Vayavu al Achish melech Gas. And he came to Achish, the king of Gas. Now it's interesting that he would go there, because if you were to think of one place where David should flee, it's like he's fleeing from Shaul, who's after his life, and he's running to the king of the Plishtim. And David was the one who killed Goliath from Gas. Or David killed their man. And it's strange that he would run out of all places to there. So I didn't see the question discussed directly, but I was thinking, and I think, you know, I think this pshat is as close to the truth of it is. But you find in Parshas Toldos, Yitzchak Avinu was told he has to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Gur Ba'aretz Hazo, stay here. Don't go down to Mitzrayim because there's a famine, like Avram Avinu did. You have to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Hahi, Yitzchak planted in that land, Vayimsa Bashana Hahi Me'a Sha'arim. In that year, he found whatever produce the field would normally produce, it produced 100 times as much. And he had Vayivarcheyu Hashem, and Hashem gave him a tremendous bracha. Rashi says over there, there's two chidushim what happened to Yitzchak. First of all, he planted Ba'aretz Ahi in that land, the land of the Plishtim. And that was not from the 7 nations that were promised to Klal Yisrael. So you see from that Rashi that the land of the Plishtim, it's between the Mediterranean and the Yarden, it's in the geographical area of Eretz Yisrael, because Yitzchak couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. So Yitzchak was in the land of Plishtim, which was Eretz Yisrael. Yet, it wasn't as good as the rest of the land of the 7 nations that were directly promised to Klal Yisrael. It was in between. So he planted in that land, Ba'aretz Hahi, that the Pasuk stresses, he planted in that place, Vayimsa Bashanahi, and on that year when there was a famine, and normally things were not growing, he was tremendously successful. But you see from there, the land of the Plishtim, it's not as choshev as Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, it still is Eretz Yisrael. So I assume Shaul had control over all of Eretz Yisrael. So David couldn't run somewhere else in the country. He had to leave. If he's going to go to the other side of the yard and go to a place that's totally out of Eretz Yisrael, then he left Eretz Yisrael. And David HaMelech will see later on use the expression, Hengi Rashto Osi Ayomi Stapech Benachlas Hashem. He like drove me out of Eretz Yisrael, saying Lech Avod Elohim Acherim. Be Oyved Avod Zora. The Gemara learns out from there. If you leave Eretz Yisrael, it's like you Oyved Avod Zora. It's a terrible thing to have to leave Eretz Yisrael, which I say we'll discuss more when we get to Mirtz Hashem to that Inyan. But David didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. And he had to get away from Shaul, and Shaul controlled all Eretz Yisrael. So I assume that's why he ended up going to Achish Melech Gaz. Now, as we'll see, he obviously rationalized that could be, he figured they won't recognize him. Maybe they know that Shaul's against him, that true, he killed Goliath. But, you know, the news spreads. In other words, if Shaul threw a spear at David, he probably thinks people heard that the king's against him. And he felt he could go to Achish, the king of Gaz, and could be he will be safe. Could be that was his... But this was a quick decision, and he came to Achish Melech Gaz. And by the way, some learned that he came on Shabbos. I saw a pshat. And that's why on Shabbos we say, L'dovid v'shanosu es tamo lifnei avimelech v'aygar sheyu v'yelach. We say over that, Mizmor from Tehillim on Shabbos. Over there he's called Avimelech. And the Mefarshim also say, Achish was his personal name. But the leader of the Plishtim was always called Avimelech. Like the king of Mitzrayim was called Paro. Whether it was in the times of Avram, he was called Paro, or hundreds of years later, in the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he was also the same Paro. And you see later on in the Nevi'im, he's called Paro later on in history also. Paro was the name of their leader. Like it say the Tsar. Which Tsar? There's many different Tsars, but the Tsar of Russia, or the President, or the King, or whichever. So the title could be Avimelech, because you see it mentioned a number of times through history. But it was Achish Melech Gaz. So he came to Achish, the King of Gaz. Vayomru Avdi Achish Elov. The servants of Achish said to him, Hallo, said David, is this not David? Melech Haaretz, who's the king of the land. Halolo says that not to this person that Yanu v'amecholos, they would call out with their dances, Lamor saying, Hika Shol v'alofov, Shol struck down his thousand, with his thousands. V'David brivavosov, and David with his tens of thousands. This is the man. He's called the Melech Haaretz. The simple pshat is meaning that as great as David is, it's almost as if as great as Shaul is, it's almost as if David is the king. The people realize that David is greater than Shaul, and he's the one who's coming here. Achish was kind of skeptical. Achish didn't... he was skeptical as this, you know, he didn't know exactly what to do with David. In fact, Rashi brings down that they said to Achish, don't you remember there was a Tanai amongst us when David went to meet Goliath, and the deal was, the initial condition was, Goliath had said, if I defeat whoever fights for the Jews will be enslaved to us, and if Goliath is killed by the Yidden, so then the Plishtim will have to be enslaved. So it could be what they said was, Hallo Zed David Melech Haaretz. You can't say just leave David around. As long as David's around, David has a claim that he's the Melech Haaretz, that he should be the king not only of the Yidden, but he should be the king of the Plishtim. Because that was the deal. Whoever strikes down Goliath should be able to enslave the Plishtim. So you can't just leave David and do nothing. You know, David's got a claim. You're best off just getting rid of him. This is David. So David was, Vayosim David es hadvorim ha'ele b'ilvavo. David took these words to heart. Vayirum od, and he was very afraid. Mipnei Achish Melech Gaz, because of Achish the king of Gaz. There's a chazal that says David said, everything in the world has a purpose. And the one thing David couldn't understand is why did somebody make somebody who's a meshuga, who's crazy? Why would somebody make a person with that type of condition? And here he was answered. Because David HaMelech is saved, we'll see, by acting like a meshuga. Vayishano es tamo b'einehem. He changed his whole reasoning in their eyes. Either meaning that a normal person works he has a reason for what he does. You can see he has a purpose and he has seichel and he does things that are intelligent. Here David had to change his reasoning, meaning he acted in an irrational manner. He acted like somebody who was crazy in order that they should assume it's not David. You know, the famous David can't be this person. By his whole biyotam, and he acted foolish. He acted without any reason. Vayisov al dalsos hashar. He starts scribbling on the gates, on the doors of the gates. He's writing on the walls. Vayorid riro el zakono. And he started drooling his saliva onto his beard. And these things were the type of things that a normal person wouldn't do. Vayomer ochi shel avodov. So Ochi said to his servants, Hine siru ish mishtageya. Behold, you see a guy who's acting crazy. Lomo tavio oso eloi. Why are you bringing him here? Chasar mishugoyim ani. Am I lacking people who are crazy? You hear that phrase a lot, right? People are like, Chasar mishugoyim ani, right? But Ochish really had a good reason to say it, because Chazal say his wife and his daughter were meshuggah. And therefore he had enough crazy people in the house. So he said, Chasar meshuggahim ani ki aveisim ezeh, you brought this guy, lishtagei aloi, to act crazy in front of me. Hazeh yavu al beisi. You think this person should come to my house? And the Malbim brings down what he said to them is, you might tell me you brought him, and you didn't. And you think he's David. What do you mean? Hinei siru ish mishtageya. You see he's a meshugana. How can you bring such a guy? You can see what he is. You'll tell me maybe you brought him because you thought it'd be entertaining. Some people get this type of crude entertainment by watching a Nebuch meshugana. So on that he said, Loma Taviyu say, like, why you bring him here? Chasam Meshugoyim Ani. If I enjoyed seeing that type of thing, I have enough Meshugoyim. I'm not lacking that you have to bring him if I want to watch a Meshugana. And the only other thing you could say is, you know, we really had nothing to do with it. David walked through the door. So then he said, woman, Hazeh Yovel Obeisi, I think a Meshugana just ends up walking in here. And I was, well, what are the chances are that he, in other words, you brought him here. He didn't get in by himself. You brought him here. And I don't know why you did it. It can't be David. So David was saved by the fact that you see somebody who's Akash Baruch Hu created this type of thing of somebody who's Meshuggah, and that's what saved David from the fact that Achish's wife and his daughters had the same condition, and now that he acted like that, Achish didn't even want to discuss it, didn't want to think twice about it, just get him out of here. So that saved David HaMelech's life. The truth is, the question is deeper, I think, than this, the obvious question. The Gemara asks, for instance, in Baba Basra, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Daf Yud, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the poor people, brings down, Rabbi Meir said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the poor people, so why did he make them poor? If he cares about them, he would have given them enough to eat. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to suffer. Why are we helping them? And he answered him, to save us, Medina Shel Gehenim. That if the guy's poor, it's saving us from Gehenim because we give him tztaka, and you don't know what is chus, with tztaka tatzum imovis. You don't know what tztaka does. It's funny, but a person goes through life and you figure, you know, this Sunday comes and that one comes and you're giving and you think you're doing him the big favor. You should know, really, he should have a taina on you. Why am I poor? The Gemara says I'm poor to save you from Gehenim. So because you need the chus of tztaka, I should suffer. But all right, so that's, the Gemara mentions that concept. Pusha to somebody who's meshuggah, Lamai said it's a tremendous nisayan, and those people are able to take care of people like that. Or the people don't have the seichel. A physical handicap is very difficult, very difficult. And this is much, much more so. Somebody who doesn't have his mind, and it's Lamai said it's a zechus for those who have the patience and the ability to be able to deal with them. But I think David HaMelech's question was, of course, the main purpose of Meshugoyim is that we should have the zechus of taking care of them. And it's as difficult as it is, they go through that so that we should have the nisoyan and the zechus of caring for them. But David HaMelech Shaila was l'chayr, if that's just to care for them, there's many other sicknesses that lo aleinu, no, we shouldn't know of. There are other things that can happen. Why bedafka mishagas? And that the answer is, David was shown everything has a purpose. That even something as crazy, even something as crazy as this ended up saving David HaMelech's life, and David HaMelech realized that everything that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does has a tachlis.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.